Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
This is the Best of the Joe Show, running back some of the best audio you've heard on this radio station over the past 24 hours. I'm Dan Lysol Day. Follow me on Twitter at Dan Day Radio. And today is a Miami Monday, although it doesn't really feel like Miami, much less Monday. Nonetheless, going to tailor this show a little extra Miami to get you through this very strange Monday. Seriously, it got that, I don't know, feel to it. Later in the show, I will be featuring a local artist. Also, Hawk and Crowder, there's Miami as Orange is. Here's a taste of what we're going to get from them later on.
You know what? I have a problem with these surgical gloves.
What?
The extra large come in pink. What do you think extra large comes in a manly? That's a manly size. It's extra large.
I've never known anything extra large in my life.
Oh, like I said, that is going to be later in the show. Also going to be checking in on the Joe Rose Show. They're talking with Jeff Darlington because the NFL staying very active despite everything going on in the world. Also, the Dan Le Batard Show. They talk with Chris Martin because, like I said, the NFL, oddly enough, kind of going crazy. And not like crazy over the coronavirus, but crazy deals and transactions. Not oddly enough, I've got some headlines for you. Tennessee has signed Ryan Tannehill to a four-year, $118 million deal with $91 million guaranteed, while running back Derrick Henry will be franchised. The Cowboys have placed the exclusive franchise tag on Dak Prescott and will continue talks on a long-term deal, while the Vikings have extended Kirk Cousins' contract another 2 years, $66 million. Broward County schools have suspended athletics, but Miami-Dade schools will continue to play for now. The NFL draft will proceed as scheduled, April 23rd through 25th in Las Vegas, but will have no audience. The NCAA has granted spring athletes an extra year of eligibility after recently postponing sports due to coronavirus. The NFL collective bargaining agreement has passed. The new deal will see a 17-game season and expanded playoff field. With the MLS season on hold for 30 days, Inter-Miami CF has decided to hold off on practice till at least Friday. And now, you know what we do. Rain, shine, coronavirus or not, we take a step into the day spa. Oregon police are asking people to stop calling 911 when they run out of toilet paper. They say it's not an emergency. Apparently they don't have IBS. A kangaroo in Australia was recently caught eating toilet paper at a campground restroom. Dude, in times like these, what are you doing? A five-year-old in New Orleans recently dropped a hard hat into the Mississippi River. And then 5 years later, it washed ashore in Ireland. LSU hard hat? LSU, LSU, LSU. The coronavirus lockdown in Italy has allowed police to nab a mob boss. You can think it, but I'm not going to say it. Not going to say it. Now on the weather, brought to you by Hylia Park. Tonight's forecast: slight chance of rain with temperatures in the mid-70s. Win $25,000 cash at Hylia Park Casino. Get free entries every Saturday and earn more entries playing slots every day now through March 21st. Grand prize, $25,000 giveaway, Saturday, March 21st. Visit HyliaPark.com for details. Mornings, Joe Rose. You know it, you love it, and he's not taking a break. This morning, caught up with Jeff Darlington, because like I said, the NFL don't stop for nothing. What do they talk about? Where will Brady go now? Seems like his options have kind of slimmed down a little bit. Tannehill getting paid, and the Dolphins, oh, they need a quarterback.
The voice you need right now. The voice we want right now.
He's been busy.
The breaker of news in this world that we live in right now. Jeff Darlington from ESPN joins us. Bangy dangy, good morning.
I would imagine that most of your listeners heard that introduction and then they heard my name and they're like, oh, never mind.
What do you mean you're the voice of sports right now?
You got them all excited. You get them all jacked up and then it's like, yeah.
After you did that Tom Brady stuff, I thought ESPN was going to make you live there. After you started on the Brady stuff, I thought they were going, Jeff, sorry, but you got to be on every show until midnight.
Yeah, basically. Basically what happened.
Hey, speaking of that, Tom Brady lost a couple locations. What's going to happen? What's your gut now on the Tom Brady move?
Still very much a market for him. I know that at this point it's hard for me to even say it because people just don't really want to believe it, and that's fine, and we'll just kind of see how it plays out. But as far as I continue to understand it, based on not just conversations around Tom Brady, but rather also with team executives, right now there's several teams that are still ready and willing to sign him. And I think that that's an important note. It is not just this team or the Patriots or this team or the Patriots. There's a number of teams that continue to vie for his services. And today at noon when that window opens, I anticipate those conversations will intensify.
Jeff, that stuff, by the way, I mean, I know we got a couple of days now to start working on that stuff. Everybody's got Tom Brady's got a pretty good idea, he and his people, the amount of money and the team's interest. It's no surprise, right? Right now, we got a pretty good idea. Yeah.
You have to think that we're not naive enough to know that he has certainly been feeling out the market, understanding what exists out there. Yeah, there's no question. Now, the nice part is these guys have been pretty paranoid about tampering and making sure that they've played by the book because Tom Brady is such a big person with a big target on his chest. So I think that he is very much looking forward to being able to be transparent with some of these teams and actually start to have conversations where they're bouncing information back and, you know, potentially understanding what each team can provide the other.
Jeff, were you surprised at all by the money for Ryan Tannehill? Because I know that you were one of the first, if not the first, to kind of throw that out there on Twitter yesterday, 118 total, all the guaranteed money. Were you surprised at all by the money?
I wasn't surprised by the money. I was surprised by, I don't know if surprised is the right word, but I was taken aback a little bit by the amount of time that they were willing to commit to him. And I know that if you do break down the contract, it probably looks more like a very lucrative 2-year deal than it is a 4-year deal. But if he plays well in the first two, he's going to get that third year, which is worth $29 million. And he's also got the $20 million signing bonus up front. So, again, I think the fact that this team was willing to commit so much to say that, yes, this is our guy, that might have been the one thing I was like, wow, cool. That wasn't just a 1-year deal, especially when it felt like at one point that he would wind up with the franchise tag. You know, we'll find out, but it's actually a pretty manageable deal up front the first couple of years. He gets rewarded for what he did and what they believe he can continue to do, but I don't think it puts the Titans into some crazy purgatory if for some reason it doesn't work out.
But Jeff, the other side of this, if he plays like he did last year, he's going to see most of that money. He's going to see over $100 million of that money if he plays and he's got this team backing him and you hear the players talk about him. Most of the guys wanted him to be the quarterback. So I give it to him. Have you had a chance to talk to him?
Yeah, I talked to him yesterday. He's very excited. He's
good for him.
I think he's thrilled about it. His celebration was a little tampered by by everything that we're all facing in the world. But I think he's pretty stoked about the fact that he's got stability, which is something that really, I mean, if you look at his past couple of years, really even going back to the knee injury, I mean, that's a long 3 years if you put yourself in his position. And last year when he signed with the Titans, he really got no guarantee even through training camp that he was ever even going to get a shot at the starting job. So things have intensified fast in his life, but I think the idea of having some stability is just a really good thing for him and for Lawrence.
Jeff, I know he'd never admit this. I would disagree with you a little bit. Ryan looked at Mariota, he and his agent, and he said, that's a guy, if they give it a chance, I know I can beat him out because I know I'm a better quarterback, and if he gets injured like he usually does, he'll never get his job back. You agree?
No, I totally agree with that, and I know Ryan felt that way even in training camp. I think he felt like he could be very competitive and was being very competitive and still felt like, though, that it wasn't like he wasn't necessarily getting the look as the starter and kind of knew that it was going to take something into the season to put him in that spot. So totally 100% to your point. But that said, the one thing I was surprised, I sat down with him for an interview going into the playoffs, and one thing I was surprised by is that I would have thought that, yeah, he was kind of like targeting the Titans, but when that first went down, he was sort of like, whoa, the Titans, like, what does this mean? Like, he wasn't that sold on the idea, because it wasn't necessarily he was playing the free agent market. That was a trade, ultimately. He didn't have as much of a say as a normal free agent in what was going to happen. Okay. So to your point, I thought, you know, talking to people around him when that was going down, like, I remember I was sitting there saying, this is a perfect situation. Mariota always gets hurt. You're going to wind up with a chance in an offense that probably is suitable for him. But yeah, I don't think it was nearly as expected in his mind that this was going to be, like, obvious that he was going to get his shot, even if he felt like he could succeed if he did.
Jeff, two other players on that team that helped them get to where they were last year, Derrick Henry and the offensive tackle, Conklin. What happens with them?
Yeah,
I know one's obviously, I'm assuming they're going to tag one of those guys, but are they going to pay big money for the other guy?
Yeah, it feels like they'll tag Henry at this point. I don't know that they keep Conklin. Like, we'll see, but that guy's going to get a lot of money. That's a big help for Tannehill, for sure. I think that if you go down that road of starting to having to pay, you know, $14-15 million for an offensive lineman, like, that gets a little costly and tough to manage the whole squad, but we'll see. I do think that Henry winds up getting the tag. It would not surprise me if Conklin ends up elsewhere, but we'll see. You know, funny things happen.
Hey, Jeff, free agency with the craziness going on. It's a hot topic, and we didn't ask you about it yet, but I'm curious.
Yeah.
Think they move it back, or we're still looking at Wednesday at 4?
We're still looking at Wednesday at 4. I mean, so the way that works is the NFL Players Association has it collectively bargained in the new CBA that if they were to make any changes to the first day of the league year, that's up. The NFLPA has to be on board. And ultimately, the PA was the group that said to the NFL, like, we really want to move forward with this because, and their reason, I understand their reasons. They're basically like, this could get worse. You know, like, in a month, if we're delaying this 2 weeks, and then two weeks, a month down the road, this is worse. What do we do then? Then, though, there are a lot of people that I've talked to in very high respected places around the league who are saying, like, these next 24, 48 hours feel very fluid across the country. Things suddenly go to a point where this becomes a logistical nightmare. You can't really get the toothpaste back in the tube if you open up this legal tampering period today. So I think there is a lot of stress, a lot of animosity, and a lot of nerves at stake here. But that being said, I also think for now, it looks like we're heading for the start of the league year to begin on time.
Hey, Jeff, real quickly, just bringing it back here to South Florida quarterbacks. Jordan Love been in for a visit.
Yeah.
Before they shut down the pre-draft visits. Herbert, they had somebody go out and take a look and watch him work out. They got to get one of these Tua, Herbert, or Love, right? They got to get one of these three quarterbacks. Would you agree?
Yeah, or Tom Brady. You know, just go ahead and sign him and bring him down, and let's just do this. You know, that's how we try to light the world on fire. No, I'm not trying to do that here. No, I mean, totally. You gotta. I still am very curious to see what the Dolphins do. I think they know they need to be aggressive and smart about this quarterback position, and to be both is a very difficult thing to do, right? To be aggressive and smart. When you're sitting at that fifth spot and you've got a team right behind you that also needs a quarterback, I think you're going to have to make a move to get them. And if you have conviction in a guy, and if that guy is Tua, I think you're going to have to absolutely move to 3. I don't think you'll necessarily have to move to 2, but I think you're going to have to move to 3 in that Lions pick if you're going to get the guy that you want. The only thing I keep coming back to, and I've said this to you guys too, is like, there's a lot of quarterbacks right now. Most of the Pro Bowlers in the past like 5 years were taken outside of number 10 overall. Patrick Mahomes was the 10th pick in the draft, and a lot of other guys, whether it's Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Tom Brady, these guys were all taken later. So it's not like, and I know the Dolphins don't have that much trust in faith, or fans don't have that much trust in faith, but I think you got to be aggressive. But I also don't hate the idea of maybe exploring one of those later rounds, even for a second quarterback, if you feel the need.
Yeah, second quarterback, that's fine, as long as they get one of those top flight guys also.
No doubt. I'm with you.
Right.
Sure.
I mean, I just think that otherwise, and me and Joe were talking about it earlier, the fan base, trying to explain to the fan base why you took an offensive tackle, an edge rusher, and a running back in the first round this year, and not a quarterback, not one of those top guys, and the question back going, well, what the hell was last year for?
I feel you, but you also can't. I mean, for years, this team has been failing to sell the fan base on what they're trying to do.
Right.
I would love for them to just have conviction in their decisions and just make the right moves. But to your point, I mean, like, there's a lot of good quarterbacks up there. You can't go through this again and expect to get Trevor Lawrence. Like, that's just a crazy expectation. So I think that, yeah, I mean, you've got to strike when you have the opportunity. Every year we see a quarterback come out that can succeed in the NFL and does succeed. So you've got to target target that guy, and you've got to find a way to get him.
We're getting ready for the draft. We're all kind of curious. You don't think the Vegas draft's going to take place, do you, with 200,000 fans?
I don't know. I've talked to people that don't expect to take place, and in the CDC now recommending that, you know, large groups not get together for, what, 8 weeks? I mean, look, I'm sitting here just like everybody else, refreshing social media, trying to find accurate news, which is not easy, and and when it comes to all this, and make those connections. But, yeah, it doesn't feel great, man. Does not feel great, that's for sure.
Do you think the commissioner come out and say something? We haven't heard from Roger Goodell.
Does
Roger need to,
you know?
Like, Roger, come on, say something.
Someone's got to wake
say
him up.
Say something. He's afraid he's going to say something stupid. That's why he hadn't come out.
Yeah, but I agree. I mean, other than the small victory lap he did via statement to say, you know, that we got the CBA done, like, it just feels like, in talking to people around the league, like I said about the start of the league year, it feels tense. Like, it feels like a lot of people are like, how are we going to do this? And I get that all the fans are like, whatever, just do it via teleconference. Like, this is a pretty intricate process where you're investing millions of dollars in human bodies. And I think that there's I understand how complicated this all is. But, yeah, like, to restore some maybe confidence in the system and where we're headed, it would be nice to hear from the guy in charge of all of it.
The guy that's running that's the most professional. Yeah. The most popular sport.
That's a reasonable request.
Not just putting out a statement that me or you could have wrote and just signed Roger. I'm just throwing that out. Could have been a PR guy that did that. I mean, it's just ridiculous when it comes to that. So what about, all right, so let's stay in free agency for a second. What about the other quarterbacks? I mean, you see all this news about Tampa Bay. What about Jameis Winston, Phillip Rivers? Are you hearing anything about any of these guys?
Yeah, Phillip Rivers still makes a lot of sense in Indianapolis. Like, that feels like a real, like, if for instance, Tom Brady, who is the top target for a lot of these teams that are eyeing quarterback, if he were not to wind up in Indianapolis, and I feel the eye rolls, but keep an open mind on everything, that Phillip Rivers feels like a natural fit. He's got familiarity with the offensive coordinator. He's got understanding of a lot of things in Indy, and it feels like that would be the direction that goes. For Jameis, I don't see him necessarily ending up in Tampa. I mean, they want Tom Brady. Like, let's be very clear about that. If they don't get him, though, and for instance, Ryan Tannehill's not out there, and maybe they wind up with Andy Dalton, maybe Jameis winds up with a bit of a shorter deal, but I do not anticipate at this point them placing the tag on him.
No, they tagged Shaq Barrett this morning. They tagged Shaq Barrett just a couple minutes ago. Right, right.
That's the writing on the wall when it comes to Jameis. I just don't see him back with the Bucs.
Now, that 30 picks and six pick sixes got a way of changing your thinking a little bit, man.
You know what I love about that one, though? So who was it that told me, was it Favre who used to say, if you throw 30 picks in a season, it means you're a really good quarterback because that's how long they gave you the leash. Like, if they haven't told you by the time you've thrown 30 picks, you got to be doing something really good.
Oh, my God.
And what other quarterback could say they started and ended the season on pick sixes? Like, that's something in
that's
the record books.
Yeah,
that's
wild. You know? Why we're talking about all this stuff. The only thing with Tom Brady, and not to beat the Tom Brady thing up, but what the hell? You guys been beating it up for a month at ESPN.
You kidding me? Of course.
When in doubt, go to Tom Brady. He's 43 years old, though, Jeff, man. He's 43. Like, it's a beautiful Band-Aid. It's a golden Band-Aid. It's the most expensive Band-Aid, but it's still – Tennessee said, no, we're going with Tannehill. Like, I don't know if you're buying
the Sanford. But it's not the thing is, it's not the most expensive Band-Aid. You know what? Like, that's the funny part. Like, if you're Dallas right now and you're – and I'm not saying they'll do this, but, like, if you're looking at it and Dak is saying, I need $40 million or I'm not signing or whatever, you know, whatever his wishes are behind the scenes, and Tom Brady's saying, I'll play for $30 million for the next 2 years and you can figure it out, you know, beyond that. I don't know. Like, you got to be thinking about it a little bit. But to your point, he's going to be 43. He's also the first 42-year-old to ever start 16 games. And he's doing some unprecedented things. Yeah. But I know that there are teams like San Francisco, for instance. They're looking at it saying, like, do we really want to, like, maybe we're not in love with Jimmy Garoppolo, but do we really want to take that chance where we go for Tom Brady for a couple years and he just doesn't have it anymore. So, yeah, I mean, I get all the questions, but I also know there's some teams out there that are chomping at the bit for noon to hit so that they can begin their courtship with Tom Brady.
The ultimate kick in the you-know-what if somehow Robert Kraft loses Tom Brady and Jerry Jones picks him up for a year. And Dallas somehow gets
owner
to the
ego
Super Bowl,
right there. Right. That's touching the owner ego.
Could you imagine world would explode.
Dallas in the Super Bowl with Tom Brady and Robert Kraft's at home watching it. Right, exactly.
I kind of like how the NFL just ignores coronavirus. They're going about their business, wait-and-see attitude, kind of laissez-faire, going about people signing contracts, CBA agreements, all that good stuff. They're like, we're the NFL, but they're kind of waiting and seeing right now, I'm sure. Eventually, they'll get into it. The Joe Rose Show, always great, always on in the mornings from 6 to 10 on weekdays right here, 560 The Joe. Download the podcast for that show, this show, or any of the shows at our website, WQAM.com, radio.com app, or you can go wherever you get your podcasts. The Dan Le Batard Show. They're not scared of coronavirus. Well, not scared enough to not be on the radio.
You're worth whatever you can get, just like you, Stu Gatz. Come on, give me a break.
Talking Tannehill. Plus, it is a Miami Monday. Hashtag Miami Monday at Dan Day Radio. If I like what makes you so Miami, I may read it out on the air. Got that Dan Le Batard for you in 5 minutes. Plus, coming back, a special Miami artist, because after all, it is Miami Monday on The Best of the Joe Show.
Greetings in the name of the Most High. Now, if you tell them this story, you know. Lyric. Yo,
every day, hell, I give me play, so I must be again. This is The Best of the Joe Show, running back some of the best audio you've heard on this radio station over the past 24 hours. I am a Dan Day on this Miami Monday, so, as promised, featuring music from a Miami artist. This is Lyric L. Israel, Every Day.
She heard my style and she said she want me real bad. Been a while, she a peg me for the steel rod.
That's got you feeling a little good in these trying times. Lyric L. Israel from St. Anne's Bay, Jamaica, now makes his home here in the 305. Used to be a Miami-Dade County police officer. He's not pursuing criminals anymore. He is pursuing music and acting. That is L-R-I-K, the number 3-L, and then Y-S-R-A, apostrophe E-L. If you got any questions, you can also find me on Twitter, at Dan Day Radio. One more time, let's get those good vibes going for everyone on a Monday.
Can I give me play, so I must be again. I get a girl everywhere I stay. No funny guy.
Lyric L. Israel, Every Day. Gonna have some more music from him later in the show, because after all, it is Miami Monday. Hashtag Miami Monday. At Dan Day Radio on Twitter. If I like what I see, may just read it out on the air. Always liking what you're hearing from the Dan Le Batard Show, weekdays from 10 to 1 right here on 560 The Joe. Earlier today, the guys, they kept on going, talking to Chris Mortensen because, like I said, the NFL, it don't stop. They talked about the collective bargaining compromise and some thoughts on Tannehill.
Chris Mortensen joins us now on ESPN Radio. We've got 10 years of labor peace. Thank you, Mort, as always, for coming by here and bringing your credibility to a situation that doesn't have any credibility in this 10-to-1 slot Eastern. But can you help us understand what happened here with this close vote? This close vote, did NFL owners successfully divide the players between the haves and the have-nots? Did the have-nots, did the short-sighted just vote for 10 years of labor peace and kind of do something that a lot of the rich guys were saying they shouldn't do?
I think after the experience in 2011 during the lockout, even though many of these players who are in the league today were not part of that, I think that's when the owners shoved a deal down the throat and divided the players. If you remember, the players actually got together a so-called war chest of money, and the union did too, only to determine that if you actually did the math, it wasn't going to work unless you were willing to sit out a lengthy amount of time. I think the reason the vote was so close is simple. 17 games. And there were players who, just on principle alone, no matter how good this deal is, and there's a lot of nice ornaments in this deal for the players, and they're just not decorative. There is real money there, and maybe they'll create a middle class, which they currently lack in the NFL. When you had the voices like J.J. Watt and Aaron Rodgers speak out right away, Richard Sherman, big name guys who certainly have respect, I know Stu Goss is big with J.J. Watt, so I think a lot of those players, I think there were players who immediately said, well, they're voting no, I'm voting no, which is why you heard that scramble like, well, wait a minute, can we change the vote? And the union's executive board said no. So I don't think they divided the players. I think, but if you actually look at this deal, the owners wanted this deal and gave, I think, more than they normally would give, more than they would give next year, because they want to get the TV media rights deal done now. Because this coming fall, of course, we don't know what the coronavirus, COVID-19, is going to do to any type of negotiation. But certainly at the time the owners voted for it, there were things they didn't like about this deal, but they knew they wanted to get the media and the TV rights done because they're going to kill it with the TV deals and the streaming rights deal. And for them to do it, they needed the CBA. So they gave players things that I don't think they would have given them next year.
Mort, how is it? Do you have an explanation for how 500 of the current players in the NFL did not vote on the proposed CBA? That has to infuriate Demaurus Smith and most of the players, no?
Can you explain to me why 40% of Americans didn't vote in the last election when President Trump was elected our president?
No, I can't.
Okay, so I don't know why some players may ignore emails or just don't feel like their vote counts. And I know a lot of people that when they vote for elections, whether primary elections or general elections, they don't vote because they don't feel their vote counts. It makes no sense to me because the union, and Dee Smith, the head of the union, they have worked really hard for 10 months. Dee Smith and other people on his with his executives, they visited all 32 teams during the season and sometimes on multiple occasions to explain the details of this deal and how important it was for them to have a voice. And if you read Dee Smith's letter, and you can read it on Twitter, he never recommended a yes or no vote on this deal. I think that's just the player. If a player doesn't like the deal, they'll have themselves to blame. But I got a feeling that they're going to like this deal, just like in 2011, we thought the owners really smashed the players in that deal. And as it turns out, as the last 5 years have gone on, players have done quite well. I also have one theory before I stop. One theory is I think the people who are in the upper class of NFL players making money, they're the ones who don't like this deal, even though they're going to get a lot of money.
Can you explain to us, Mort, what your personal thoughts are on the sheer volume of NFL news and money being thrown around and how tone deaf it feels, given everything else going on in America, the world, and in sport?
Yeah, listen, behind the scenes, we've had this tone deaf, and optics is the other word that people use. I'm kind of like, I've gone both ways on it, but here's what I think. Tell me when this is all going to end. Tell me when the coronavirus COVID-19 threat is going to end. One thing you can do is through technology and telephones, you can strike up a deal. That's how it's done, usually. There's some issues about taking the physical. That's usually for second-tier and third-tier guys. I think that most of the public generally, and this goes back to even when players are making $300,000 a year, when the man on the street, which is a cliche, thought they were being overpaid, they're going to have the same reaction in this, that it's tone deaf to the guy who's not making any money, working for $15 an hour. You tell me when it's going to end and what type of chaos is going to ensue. The money is there. Players who have been waiting, and it's the players who want this done, players who have this anxiety about where they're going to live, how much money they're going to be paid, their next team, our families, are we going to move? They'd like to have a little bit more of a clear answer, take the next step in the process, and that's why we are proceeding as of today.
Mort, how do you feel about Ryan Tannehill, $91 million guaranteed, $118 million overall? Is he worth that kind of money?
You're worth whatever you can get, just like you, Stu Gotts. Come on, give me a break. I mean, here's the thing about it. If you look at the contract, technically they can get out of it after 2 years. These contracts that we report in the media, they're technically accurate, but if you go to the details, you can see that some of these players, whether it be Ryan Tannehill or even Jared Goff or other guys, you can see that the teams actually have opt-outs, Jimmy Garoppolo being one, where they can kind of walk away from the deal after a couple of years. And, yeah, they paid a lot of money in the first 2 or 3 years, but they can get out of it. So Ryan Tannehill played great football for 7 games. They like him. They know him. He's young. On the surface, it looks like a big deal, but it's, to be honest with you, he's going to be under market, most quarterbacks, when the quarterback market finally settles.
Mort, what do you make of the chatter that the extra games might be sort of bundled together in some sort of neutral site television package for a streaming giant?
I've heard it. I would probably turn the question around to you and ask you What do you feel? It doesn't change what I do. How do you watch games? How do you
Mort,
feel about
you
it?
Need to stop asking us questions about how Trump got elected, when the virus is going to end. We ask you the questions.
I mean,
you're
what I'm worth,
expert.
I mean.
You answer them. Why do you keep throwing questions back at us?
Let me rephrase.
Because I think you're a Joe fan. I'll exclude Dan. I think we have Joe fans there. Personally, I don't care. Now, I will say this. I didn't like a 17-game schedule. I'll give you my opinion. I didn't like a 17-game schedule. I will tell you this. I think there were owners itching to force an 18-game schedule next year. So on 17-game, how do you do we've talked that, hey, 1 year, the one conference will have the normal 8-game home schedule, and the next year the other conference will have a 9-game schedule, you know, and vice versa. I don't know how it works. We know they're going to be independent sites. They're already independent neutral sites that are being played on. And, I don't like the number. I know how tough it is on players, especially guys who are in the trenches, to just be ready to play by Sunday each week, because it takes a long recovery. But, you know, if you do the math, and I've heard some people do the math, over average player's career lifetime, 4 more games than they normally would play.
Mort, thanks for being on with us. We always appreciate the insight. We could have done without all the questions. Thank you, sir.
Talk to you guys.
I like how Dan Le Batard put Chris Mortensen in his place. Stop asking questions. You're here to answer our questions. No question about it. Dan Le Batard, always a good listen. Weekdays from 10 to 1 right here on 560 The Joe. Always a great listen. Afternoons with Hawk and Crowder.
You know what? I have a problem with these surgical gloves.
What?
The extra large come in pink. What do you think extra large comes in a manly? That's a manly size. It's extra large.
Never known anything extra large in my life.
Also going to be talking about Tannehill and a Brady 5 minutes away. Plus, it is Miami Monday, so I've got some more Miami music for you next on the Best of the Joe Show. Welcome back to the Best of the Joe Show, running back some of the best audio you've heard on this radio station over the past 24 hours. I am Dan Day. Miami Monday. No lie, one of the few things I like about Miami's and Mondays is playing some Miami music, like this music from my man right here, Lyrical Israel. The song's called No Lie, No Lie. I'm feeling this one. Get it with no try, no lie. Girl, light me on the mobile. See me profile that I make she call. Showtime when she broke up in a joke. Right? Used to be a cop. Now he's copping some hot music. Make you feel good on a Monday here in Miami. Lyrical Israel, No Lie. No Lie. Check him out and enjoy his music. You also got to check out the Hawk and Crowder Show. Weekdays, 3 to 6, right here. 560 The Joe. Earlier today, they were on talking about Coach O's PSA, not to mention Tannehill over Brady?
Ed Orgeron recorded a public service announcement in Louisiana for coronavirus. We'll get to that shortly. NFL free agency is on. Very exciting. Had to play a little music for you here as we take over, because we want to make sure that the studio is fully cleaned and disinfected before we come on the air. So while there's only like a 5-minute break in between shows, we got to make sure that we are cleaning. Give me a little bit of that for my hands there.
That's a Propel.
Propel. Nice. Crowder came in. He was wearing surgical gloves.
You know what? I have a problem with these surgical gloves.
What?
The extra large come in pink. What do you think extra large comes in a manly? That's a manly size. It's extra large.
Never known anything extra large in my life. Living different lives.
I can't say touche.
Different lives.
I'm speaking about shirts.
Of course.
Nothing else, yeah.
There is a lot going on, obviously, with NFL free agency, and we'll bring you up to speed on that. We promised you last week. I mean, we're here in the studio. We're doing this show. And we promised you as much rigmarole as everybody is going through in their lives right now. Hopefully you're working, and hopefully you're able to work from home. And with everything that's going on, we promise you at least once a show, hearty laugh. Guaranteed laughs. And I will tell you, today, I've already previewed the segment that we're going to play back from the archives. I'm not lying to you when I tell you I was crying. Tears streaming down my face at home this morning. And my wife yelled from the other room, "What is going on out there?" I was crying.
crying laughing at the segment that we're going to play today.
We do a great job.
Guaranteed laughs while this entire situation goes on. And obviously, if there's any important news, breaking news, we will certainly bring it to you. We'll let you know everything that's going on in the world of sports and whatnot. Ryan Tannehill got paid.
118.
So, Texas, that Ryan Tannehill!
What is that?
Yeah.
What is that?
It's our Ryan Tannehill drop.
But what do you, I, when you say it's ours, I've never heard it, and it's our show. So what does that mean?
That's our Ryan Tannehill drop.
No, but where did you get that from?
It's a very famous Ryan Tannehill vine that circulates around Twitter every time he does something good.
Well,
and
listen,
I've incorporated it into our show.
When you get $118 million after getting a $90 million deal from the Dolphins, bro, you can have a drop now.
But didn't Vine disappear like 3 years ago?
Again, unbeknownst to you, I incorporated this into our show.
Ryan Tannehill!
How do we have a Ryan Tannehill drop, though? Because I would need to know about these things.
Bro, they locked into Tannehill and told Brady they're not interested.
I mean, what world? I saw someone tweet this out. What world are we living in? The world is shutting down because of a virus that we can't control, and a team has chosen Ryan Tannehill over Tom Brady. What is going on in the world?
I said Tannehill was going to get paid, but I didn't know they were going to just flat out say, Brady, nope.
Do you think
Tannehill, yes.
Do you think they will regret this? Now, we watched him for seven seasons. So Ryan Tannehill, according to Jeff Darlington from ESPN, Ryan Tannehill, $118 million total, $29.5 million average per year, $62 million full guarantee, $91 million total guarantee. Do you think they will end up regretting that contract?
If you evaluate it week to week, yes. I think at the end of next season, he will be a top 12 to 15 quarterback, and I think that's where the numbers
and
are.
And the numbers will be appropriate for
yes.
that.
Yes. But with Derrick Henry behind him, and now they got to lock him in.
And I think they franchised him, didn't they? Or are they going to franchise him?
Derrick Henry, they already did. Non-exclusive franchise tag.
So I think this is buying them time to negotiate something with Derrick.
Right.
Because you give Tannehill, Patrick Laird, you better not pay that man $118 million.
Right.
But with Derrick behind him, I think they said, we made it to the AFC Championship last year with this. I think we can do it again.
And he missed four games or five games. Yeah. So I think they're going to end up regretting it. I think it's going to be one of the – I mean
– But you see what I'm saying? Week to week, they will.
I got you. But we did this. The Miami Heat did this, right? Tyler Johnson, Deion Waiters, James Johnson, Hassan Whiteside. The Heat did this. He got fooled by a half a season. And they didn't even make the playoffs. Now, Tennessee went to the AFC Championship game, like you said. And then all of a sudden, everything came back to reality. Mm-hmm. And you were stuck with contracts that you weren't happy with. I don't know. I don't know what the – my guess is they end up regretting it just from having watched him down here. Yes, he shows you promise, and then he regresses to the mean.
And with Vrabel being their head coach, ex-linebacker, the way he thinks, Tannehill being the hard – the 7 years we know, hard worker.
Hard
never
worker.
Gonna, you know, he didn't miss a game until the knee thing.
Super good team guy.
Great team guy. Communicates. He's not going to cause any problems. Tannehill is never going to get arrested on a Friday night. And I think he fit great with Vrabel. Andy Reid or McVay or Gruden was his head coach. He does not get this extension. But I think Tennessee, I think Vrabel, I think the run game, the strong defensive side, I think it was a perfect storm for Tannehill to re-sign with
them. And I would say this too. If I'm Tennessee, I look around at what the options are and I go, yeah, I don't have a better option than this. And the Dolphins did that many seasons with him.
Yes.
I don't have a better option than this, so I'm going to lock him in for big money. You're kind of a prisoner of what's available. The most shocking thing to me over the first day of NFL free agency seems to be there's no market for Tom Brady. There's no market for Tom Brady. San Francisco doesn't want him, according to Chris Sims. They're sticking with Jimmy Garoppolo. I read something today. The only team that's really interested in him is Tampa. And Tampa is going full throttle to get him. That's a change from what I believe Tom Brady and his representation thought. Right? I mean, they figured, I'm guessing, we're going to make him available to the NFL. The NFL will grind to a halt, figure out how to get Tom Brady. And it seems like a day into free agency, there's one team that's interested, which then puts all the power back with New England.
And that's where I think he's going to end up.
Yeah.
Now we talked about
and
it.
Now he's got to eat a little crow.
Could Derek Carr, who He's they're saying he could leave, or Cam Newton, or, you know what, a Teddy Bridgewater. Could Teddy Bridgewater hand the ball to Derrick Henry and also make better throws than Tannehill?
Possible.
I think he could. Like, for them to give him 29.5 average, I don't know if it was too nearsighted to really look at the situation.
Well, I would say, though.
They didn't pinch pennies.
Right, but no, they did not pinch pennies. They dubbed him their quarterback of the future. I mean, that contract tells you we believe Ryan Tannehill is our quarterback for the next four seasons, maybe three seasons, but he is our quarterback moving forward. So that's not pinching pennies. It's interesting. Yeah. I'm happy for him. He's a super nice guy. Get what you can get, you know.
I'll go to my punchline. We go to church together. So that's my Tannehill thing.
Less that you have to put in the collection plate.
He's
got it all.
Reverend, you want my money?
Have you seen this fella sitting next to me?
He can do it.
A couple of months ago, if you'd have said, on this very day, the two topics we'd be talking the most about, coronavirus and Ryan Tannehill, I would have slapped you in the mouth. I'd have been like, no way. No. Crazy. That's going to about do it for the Best of the Joe Show. Of course, it is a Miami Monday. Hashtag Miami Monday. Hit me up on Twitter at Dan Day Radio. Let me know what makes you so Miami, and I'll always try to read it out. Had some Miami music from Lyrical Israel. Great stuff. Be sure to check that out. Going to give you a little more Miami, though, since I do have a little more time. Dwayne Wade talking about his kids' high school team. Always good to hear from D. Wade.
Era Canyon officially going to the state championship game.
Nice.
On a buzzer beater. Yes. Zaire Williams.
Zaire Williams hit a big, big shot. Shout out to my kids, team, Era Canyon.
Sit right there.
Yeah, that's a
win.
Wow.
Triple
squat. Shout out to Zaire Williams, Brandon Ballston, Bronny James, Mari Bailey. Man, they deserve it.
Will you be at the state championship game?
I will not be there.
Well, good luck to them.
In, and I don't want to do nothing to the coach, so I won't be there.
We have wardrobe changes.
I think you just did do something.
I won't be there, but I'll be rooting for the kids.
Okay. The post-game show continues.
Message.
Yikes. On national television.
Love hearing D. Wade, and can't wait for basketball to resume, sports to resume. In the meantime, it's a whole lot of Netflix and chill this weekend. I saw Shawshank Redemption for the very first time. Great movie. Goodfellas in its entirety for the very first time. Then a bunch of other movies like Donnie Brasco and everything. Getting very close to my Netflix, to my movies. Reading books. Charles Bukowski. Hunter S. Thompson. Yeah, just kind of using my mind. Kind of not using my mind. Sleeping on the beach a little bit here and there. I'm going to try to go to the gym right now. I don't know if the gym is even going to be open. Give it a try. I know eventually it probably will close. Will it be today? I don't know. If it is open, I'll work out, wash my hands a ton, go home, take a shower, just kind of live life. It's one of those things. It's serious now. Everything's shutting down. I've heard the bars and the restaurants in Miami-Dade supposed to have a curfew of 11 o'clock in the evening. Time to just lock it down, I guess. Time to spend some alone time. Get your mind out of the gutter. If you want to download the podcast for this show or any of the shows you hear on this radio station, free, wherever you get your podcasts, theradio.com app. Or you can go to our website, WQAM.com. Hopefully I will be back tomorrow, 6 o'clock, right here for another edition of the Best of the Joe Show. Later, slug.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.